So as you may know, in the Episcopal Church, the readings for each Sunday are predetermined by our lectionary. So when I saw that it was this reading for a baptism, I was pretty stoked. It's pretty perfect for a baptism celebration, because in this passage, you just can't get a better encapsulation of the essence of the faith that we're going to be inviting Olivia into today. You just can't get more distilled than this. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Or as our presiding bishop puts it, love God, love your neighbor, and while you're at it, love yourself. It's such a great summary, in fact, that it can be easy to overlook that the lawyer was actually trying to test Jesus. And so Jesus' response to the second question from the lawyer, but who is my neighbor? His answer, it's intended to test and challenge the lawyer and us as the listeners. Because love God, love your neighbor, love yourself, it's not as easy as it sounds. It's why we spend years cultivating these values and what they mean in our children and in ourselves. It's why we do so in community together, why we look to the scriptures and the wisdom of past generations. This week, as I turned to the parable, I looked towards the words and wisdom and the witness of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He's got a sermon that's often referred to as, "I Have Been to the Mountaintop." And in it, he offers a powerful interpretation of this very familiar parable of the Good Samaritan. He reminds the listeners that the road from Jerusalem to Jericho is a dangerous road. It's got these curves and this terrain that makes it perfect for ambushes, just like the one that our victim fell prey to from the robbers. So as we speculate, you know, why didn't the priest and the Levite stop when they saw the man? King suggests that it's because they were afraid they might get ambushed too. They look at this man, they don't want that to happen to them. Or they think he's faking his injuries and he's part of a trap or an ambush. So in other words, King preached that the first question that came to the mind of the priest and the Levite when they saw their fellow suffering human being, the first thing they thought was, if I stop to help this man, what will happen to me? But the question that the Samaritan asked, the foreigner, the one who chose to be a neighbor, the first question that came to his mind when he saw that man was, if I do not stop to help this man, what will happen to him? For King, that is the question that's at the heart of love of neighbor. That is the question that guides what it means to follow Jesus in the way of the cross. So what do we do in a world where every road feels dangerous? On Monday, my little family and I gathered with our neighbors and hundreds of other East Longmeadow folks to enjoy our town's famous 4th of July parade. If you've lived in East Longmeadow or around it, you know about this parade. And it was really fun. We had great weather. We had a great time celebrating our nation, celebrating our neighbors. But at the same time, less than 1,000 miles away in Illinois, other families gathered in another suburban town just like ours to watch their local parade, to celebrate their neighbors and our nation. But as we now know and grieve, their sunny day was ripped apart by violence and tragedy when a gunman opened fire on parade spectators. That should have been a safe and happy road for families to park their lawn chairs and wave their flags. Every town and every city, every road should be safe. But the threat of gun violence lingers over our schools, our public gatherings, our churches. So how can we live? How can we gather without this fear overwhelming us, paralyzing us? In videos from the Highland Park shooting, a police officer runs toward the sound of gunfire. A father places his kids in a dumpster and turns back to the pain. Strangers rescue and pull close a 2-year-old orphan. King's answer is that we are still called to ask the Samaritan's question first, in the face of all that danger. And like Jesus, he didn't just preach this message. Like Jesus, he lived by it and he died by it. Martin Luther King ended his Good Samaritan sermon reflecting on a recent near-fatal stabbing he had just survived, and on the constant death threats that he received throughout his ministry. And in the last few sentences of this sermon, he makes peace with the risks that he is taking, because he has such a clear sense of his purpose and such a certain faith that God will bring us, all of us, to a time of true justice and liberty for all. The next day, after giving this exact sermon, April 4th, 1968, Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated by a gunman's bullet. His words and his example live on, challenging us to ask ourselves, if I do not stop to help my fellow suffering human being, what will happen to them? Professor Matthew Skinner of Lutheran University adds another question to King's. He asks the question, if I do not stop to help my fellow suffering human being, what will happen to me? What are the spiritual consequences of teaching ourselves to ignore the plight of the poor, the outcast, and the alone? What does it do to our souls when we only consider protecting our own wealth, reputation, or time? When we draw lines around who is worthy of compassion? What is the spiritual harm of miserliness, shutting ourselves off from others, leaning into distrust and apathy? Or to put it in a more positive light, what growth is possible when we open ourselves to generosity in spite of risk? What potential do we unlock in ourselves when we reach out a hand, even when it means interrupting our all-important journeys? How are we transformed by our own acts of compassion? Who do we become when we make kindness our primary way of being in the world? That third part, that loving ourselves means not allowing selfishness or fear to lead us away from our calling to be a beacon of Christ's love and hope to the world. We're not all called to martyrdom, thank God. We do not often face circumstances that demand extraordinary heroism. But I do know this, each and every day, each of us has the power to make small choices of faith over fear, generosity over avarice, neighbor over self. We might give a bit more than we had planned. We might push back judgmental thoughts, make time for a stranger, demand courage from our representatives, carry our children to the font. We take the brave steps, large and small, needed to make this world a safer, more loving place. And each of these steps, each of them, prepare us for those unexpected moments that require greatness. In a moment, Andrew and Mariana and Kaylin and Edward will be asked to renounce evil on behalf of their child and godchild. Our faith names and recognizes the dangers along the roads ahead of us. And we reject their power over us. We say an even more powerful yes to following Jesus' example of love in the face of all that would tear it down. So I think Olivia's ready. We're going to join with her. We're going to all gather back around the font, and we're going to affirm that covenant that binds us to love, binds us to loving God, loving neighbor, and loving ourselves. Amen.